I like your lively conversation. Good morning and welcome to First Baptist Church on this beautiful Earth Day. It's nice to see the sun shining, and it's nice to see you shining and here. We especially welcome those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a long time, and we hope you find yourself at home here. I invite all of you at some point this morning to fill out the connection card in your bulletin, and later in the service you can take a look at the other side, or anytime in the service you can take a look at the other side and fill that out, and then drop that in the offering plate later this morning. I also invite you to look at the announcements related to congregational life in your bulletin insert. A couple of those I would like to highlight. One is this morning we will be continuing our series on welcome and full inclusion in the church, specifically related to our stance and practice towards members of the LGBTQ community. We will be continuing that here at 11:30 in the sanctuary. This is for all youth and adults, and we have a panel presentation with time for question and answer. And this is the second in an ongoing conversation that we hope you will attend as much as possible, but we also I'm not going to tell you that. I was going to tell you that we'll have recordings available, but then you might not come. So we want you to come. We may or may not have a recording available for people who miss. Another thing I would like to make sure you have seen is that on Saturday, there's this awesome opportunity called Mothering Justice's Accomplice Academy Webinar. You can read about that, but I want to make sure you know, even though it has the word mothering and says moms in there, you don't have to be a mom to attend. It is for women. You do need to be a woman. Sorry. It's specifically for white women to learn from women of color around issues of organizing for meaningful change in our communities. This is a really exciting opportunity, and we will be hosting it here at our church, and hope you'll consider coming if you're a woman. You can read other announcements at your leisure. The Lord of life is among us, calling us to life. The God of love is among us, calling us to love. Christ, the bearer of hope, is among us, calling us to hope. Now is our opportunity to respond and to receive. So let us worship.
please stand? Let's pray together. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us safely through another week. Speak to us through your word, that we may renew our faith in you, our fellowship with one another, and our witness in the world. We ask this in the precious name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now a reading from the first letter of John. We know love in this way, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in us? In anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and God knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from God whatever we ask, because we obey God's commandments and do what pleases God. And this is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that Christ abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given to us. This is the word of the Lord.
pray with me. Good Shepherd, King of love, you have led us so far, and you lead us still. You have tended us, nurtured us, and restored us. Your goodness does not fail. We have all that we need. Help us to believe that. Help us to live with the confidence that everything we need has already been provided. As people attempting to trust that you will provide not only for our needs, but for the needs of our hurting world, we lift all our prayers to you. We pray especially this morning for Nicaragua, as that country explodes in protests and pain. We pray for those mourning the 25 dead there, and for those searching for the 43 people who have disappeared, and for the scores of people who have been injured. We pray for all those living there in outrage and terror. We pray for peace and for safety. And we pray for our friends at Amos. We lift our whole broken world to you in all its sadness, fear, and pain. And we pray for your church everywhere, that we would reach towards our hurting world with the compassion and kindness of Christ. We pray also for those whose names we know to offer to you now. We pray for Jean Evie, Richard Bates, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Murphy Stumpf, Peter Mortensen, Saw Nay Lin, Robert L., Dana Rogers, Will Healy, for Mark Seiler, for Janet, Patty, for the Jones family, for John Wallace, for Curtis, Jennifer and Luke, Nina, Barb and Bob, for Jim Terrace, for Janice Stumpf, for Thea DeGroot, for Matt Nee, Valerie Nebbia, and for David. We also pray our private prayers in silence. Gracious God, you sent us Christ Jesus as your Lamb and our Shepherd. In the mystery of salvation and in the promise of resurrection, he calls us to trust and to follow. Give us the courage, the boldness, and the faith to follow him, that we might bless the world with his love. We ask these things in his name and in the words he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. A reading from John 10, 14 through 16. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's time for children.
For you about what do you do when you first get home from school or preschool? What are some of the first things you do when you get home? Alexandra?
Eat.
Eat. Maybe do your homework. Yeah, I think eating is really important. At our house, we go to protein. As soon as we get home, we eat some protein. Okay, let's think of something else. What do you do when you get home?
Put your backpack away.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you put your backpack where it goes. Ryder, what do you do when you get home? Ooh, let your puppy out. Okay. Samuel.
Get out of the car.
Get out of the car. That's an important piece. Good. Allison. Take your dog out. Okay, Emmanuel. Oh, yes. Washing hands. So we wash hands. Good. What else? What are we thinking about? Do we have other things?
Ivy. Get out of the car.
Yeah, get out of the car. Good. Asher. Oh, play basketball, do something you enjoy. Yeah, so at our house, there are a couple things we do, and we've had to learn over the years that after a full day of school, when you've worked hard with your head and you've worked hard with your heart, oh, it's good to come home and do things that you just need to do, like play basketball. Asher likes to play basketball to relax a little bit after school. We always wash our hands and we give ourselves some protein. So we have this moment of being restored or renewed. The psalm we heard today and the gospel reading that Miss Mary Margaret read are about God being our shepherd, Jesus shepherding us. And there's this part that, you know, makes us sound like sheep. It says that Jesus takes us to the water. Alexandra, would you take one end of the sheet and bring it towards you and all the way to the edge of the stairs? We're going to pretend this is water. And guess what you're going to be? Sheep. Now, can you come to the edge? Come on your hands and knees like sheep. Yep, good. Come to the side. Derek, would you go on the end of the sheet for me on the stairs? Now, imagine if you've been sheep all day. You've been doing the things sheep are supposed to do. And then your shepherd brings you to water like this. Did you get any water up your nose? I bet you did. Yeah. Did you actually get to drink enough water to feel better? No, you're still thirsty. Oh, okay. All right, sheep, let's go back to the water.
Now drink the water. Oh, it's nice and still. Oh, that's much better. Oh, that's much better.
Okay, you can be people now. Thank you. So this is the good news, is that, you know what? Life is hard. We don't hear that life is going to be easy. We know there are going to be hard parts of life. But we hear that the shepherd will always bring us to calm, still water. And I have learned over my years of life that sometimes that's not super obvious what the still water is, but it's good to find out what you need. And sometimes it's about finding the stillness of God within us. I have learned a way to pray from one of our retired pastors who's here today. Don Postuma, can you wave your hand? Thank you. Oh, he's loving this moment, yes. Don Postuma has a book that he wrote that I read this way of praying, and it uses these words, "Be still and know that I am God." Would you repeat after me? Be still and know that I am God. And now we're going to take off a piece of it. We're going to say, be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am. It's going to get shorter yet. Be still and know. Your turn. Be still and know. My turn. Be still.
Be still.
Be. Yeah, so sometimes we have to find the stillness within us, God's love that's with us, and just take a moment to pray a prayer like that. So let's pray that. We'll do it all together. We invite you to, as the adults in the congregation, to repeat after me. So we get those words in our hearts and in our heads. So when we need to find God's stillness in whatever's hard or the busyness of life, we can find it. Let's pray together. I'll say the line first, and you can all repeat after me. Be still and know that I am God.
Be still and know that I am.
Be still and know.
Be still.
Be. Amen.
Let us pray together. O Gracious God, now beneath and within these human words, may the words of your Spirit speak to us the living word, and beneath our human hearing, may our hearts truly hear the word that gives us life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please imagine being given this assignment? Over and over, say love without using any words. You are to be a mime. Or someone unable to speak, and to say love again and again without any words at all. Your assignment is to do this for an entire year. And do it many times, every day. And you can't use that sign language thing of folding your arms across your chest. Just get love unmistakably expressed in silence. For as many people as seem right to you, in as many ways as seem right, every day for a year. What would you do? Give lots of big hugs? Look more carefully and attentively into people's eyes? Take food? Give gifts? Lend a hand in work that somebody needs doing? Would you write them a letter or email or a text? We'll allow that much language. Would your wallet come into it? Your credit card? Your checkbook? Would you open some door of belonging and beckon? What would be different when you walk through town or walk through the door where you live? What all would you be busy with? And how would the look on your face be? And how creative might you need to become? And how do you think the people would feel who witness your love for them and for others? And how would we feel? Since, of course, you wanted bigger ways to say love to a greater number of people, and you beckoned us to join you, and you let us beckon you to join us. Won't you love it when that year is up? Finally, you can talk. And among all the words that you're free now to say, you can now also use words like love, care, support, encourage, welcome. Do you suppose such words would have new resonance for you, new depths of meaning? And power, because for so long you didn't say them, only showed them? I'd like to be very clear that the words we do say do matter very much. What a hypocrite a preacher would be to say words don't count. They matter enormously, our words to each other and to the community and the larger world. It is a totally false distinction we make between words and deeds, because words are deeds. They are deeds of the lips with tremendous power, not only for doing bad, but for doing great good. With the right offering of words, encouragement can be accomplished. Strength can be imparted. Falsehoods exposed. Shame swept away. Confidence and courage and hope inspired. I believe in words. Never forget the power we have to make changes by the words we speak and how we speak them and when. And never forget that when the time comes to say something for love's sake, if we remain silent, that's not just doing nothing. That is doing harm. So yes, we must deploy words to express compassion, support, advocacy, encouragement, welcome, and truth, all of it. So, why would today's text from 1 John say, "Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action"? The answer is pretty obvious. The good we can do with words is never a completion of the good that is needed. The love our speech conveys will lose its power soon, unless it's practiced, embodied, expressed in action. And the insidious thing is how words can be pranksters and seducers if we let them be. Meaning, they will fool us into believing that when we have felt the right thing and said the right thing, we've done it and we're done. We can speak the word of support, encouragement, advocacy, justice, and I love you and God loves you and God loves us all. Then down comes the banner, mission accomplished. When in fact, having heard the right word, what somebody also needs, what they may need much more, is a meal, is your time, is tangible help, is housing, a just wage, a full and outreaching welcome into ongoing friendship. In the beginning, it was good to hear the word conveying love, but if it never got embodied, it was never made real. And through that nothingness, a dry wind comes blowing back to the words we had spoken and turns them to dust, turns them to a lie. In this way of word without action, we fail other people. But today we should know that we also, when we do not give outward expression to what we know and what we believe and what we say, we are also doing great harm to ourselves. It is positively damaging to the soul to know what is right and believe what is right and to say what is right and never put our bodies into it. The expending of our time, our resources, our lived lives. You live that way, it will hollow you out, make you deeply false. In Saul Bellow's novel, Humboldt's Gift, this fellow Humboldt is a poet who in his 20s had written brilliantly, but now in midlife is under-functioning, depressed, suspicious of other people, not finishing projects, drinking, taking pills, and the narrator of the novel says, by way of explanation, unwritten poems were killing him. And so with us, we are wired for love's expression. It is in us to show it forth, to give and to live our love outreaching. And if we do not, then unexpressed love is killing us. spiritually, emotionally, relationally. So when Scripture says, little children, let us love not in words or speech, but in truth and action, that's not only a word in behalf of other people who are in need of our love, it is a most gracious invitation to our own wellness. Another word for that gift is integrity. The alignment of what you know and believe and say with your actions and behavior toward others. It's a good start. The feelings, thoughts, words. But more is wanted to make it real and make us whole. I heard a man speak of his friendship with a psychologist and how one evening when they were out with some other friends, he said to his psychologist friend, "Tell me one thing I can do to help with my depression." The psychologist's friend said simply, "Finish something." Is this what makes many of us so spiritually anemic and so joyless? Our love not carried through to its embodied reality, our uncompleted obedience to love's command. Our text in 1 John says that this is actually the root cause of our uncertainties about ourselves and the weakness in our faith. How do we find confidence that we're children of God? How do we get over our own sense of shame and find new levels of freedom and courage? The text says it is by pushing ourselves through to obey God's command by embodying the love we've known by our actions. Listen to the words again. By this we will know we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts whenever our hearts accuse us. We have boldness before God because we obey God's commandments, and this is the commandment: to believe in Jesus and to love each other. In other words, do you doubt yourself? Does your heart accuse you? Do you doubt ever that you are truly and forever God's own child? Then here is what you do. You show love in action. Trusting Christ, be obedient to the commandment of love. This will tell you again who you are, and who your neighbors are, and who God is. It will tell you even again how real your life is while you have it. Do you understand that this is the absolute center of Christian faith? This is our story. That all was created by love, then all throughout time, God's word to the world was love. But God knew in time that in such a world as this, love's word was not enough, so the word became flesh, embodied love, touched people and healed them, broke bread and fed them, held children in its arms, entered religious institutions to confront and set free, feasted with outcasts and welcomed them in, lifted up the faces of the sorrowing, and then suffered anguish and pain and laid down his life. The love embodied died. Then the Word spoke again, and love rose as a vision, a spirit, a metaphor. No, embodied. And then before leaving our sight, passing the embodiment of risen love onto us. And this we do with words, of course, and by making and sustaining great friendships, and by giving real gifts, by welcoming strangers, spending time with the sick, the infirm, or lonely, befriending the children, serving the poor, doing what we can towards social and economic change, helping to do what the work of the church should be. And every bit of that is another way of saying, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Dorothy Sayers, the great mystery writer and lay theologian, said, "If they ever invite me to preach, I know what I'll say. I'll get up and I will say, you know what to do. Do it." Little children, let us love, not in words or speech, but in truth and action. Amen. Here we make it tangible again by our actual gifts and our actual commitments to live in this way all the days of our lives, to keep the love command of Jesus, the risen Christ. God, your love graciously found us and never lets us go. May that love also and always find its reach through our living and giving. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Want to give it some expression to each other now? Let us say the good words, the peace of Christ be with you.